Welcome to Pastor with host Pastor Henry Wells, as he shares heart-to-heart with pastors and leaders their insights into biblical truths and the challenges they face in sharing Jesus Christ in today's society. Now, here's your host, Pastor Henry Wells.
Good day, and thank you for being with us today as we talk pastor-to-pastor and heart-to-heart to pastors all across Northern California. And we're so delighted to have with us today Pastor Phil Layton of the Gold Country Baptist Church in Shingle Springs. Phil, welcome to the program again.
Thank you, Pastor Henry. Great to be back, brother.
Yeah, we're glad to get checked up with people that have been on before and see how things are going, because you were called a couple of years ago. How long ago was it when you got a call? Seven?
7 years since I've been there, yeah. By God's grace, yeah.
And I think it was 2 years since you've been here, so see how things are going.
Yeah, well, it's great to be back. One of the great praises we've had this year, Henry, is the Lord has allowed us to finish our work on our new sanctuary, and so we actually have all of our church body in one service now. We were meeting in two services, and we've just seen a real increase in fellowship and the love of God's people, and that's been a great, great joy and great praise we give God the glory for, to be sure.
Yeah, well, that's great when you can bring something to a conclusion you've been working on. And now it's working.
That's right.
See what God does now.
That's right.
You know, you can take your... Sometimes you get so focused on doing things that you are not able to focus on doing what the Lord wants you to do in the first place, which is to worship Him and to bring people into the kingdom and to get this idea of a pastor being one... not doing all the work, but the person who trains them to do the work. And that's some of the things that I know you have on your heart.
Is
to help people get along by themselves and take responsibility.
Right.
And especially, tell us something about your men's program.
Yeah. Well, what you're describing comes right out of Ephesians chapter 4, where the Lord gave to the church pastors and teachers, or shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. And so that's my passion and my prayer, that the Lord would use me, and I'm blessed to have other shepherds and teachers with me. But we really see our role as not doing the ministry for our church, but equipping the people of our church to be doing the ministry that the Lord calls them to, and as God's people do that, the church is built up and strengthened and unified and all those things. And so in our men's ministry this year, that's been a real focus of specifically what Paul goes on to say later in Ephesians, that fathers are called to be bringing up their children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord, and they're called to be a man living with their wives, loving them as Christ loved the church, being a sanctifying influence to their wives. And so just taking those passages together, our prayer from Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 is that we would be a church that is developing and equipping men to be doing that work of ministry in their homes. And so this year we've been doing a Family Shepherds Bible study. We've kind of borrowed the title from a book by Vody Bachum called Family Shepherds, Equipping Men to Lead Their Families. And what I find is there's a lot of men who have a desire to lead their family, but maybe they never had an example of what that looked like in their own home growing up, and they know they're supposed to be the spiritual leaders, but how do they, on a day-in, day-out basis, how do they, mm-hmm. you know, bring up their children and teach them the things of God? And so those are some things that we've been blessed that the Lord's been helping us to try and really focus on that, because the church isn't really called to do that. We want to help. We have, you know, children's ministries and all those things, but it's really the fathers and the parents who are called to be discipling their children day in and day out.
I think that's, you're right about having a model, because one of the problems in America today is fatherless America. You know, so many people grow up with not having anyone in the home, a male influence. And when you don't have that, then you have no way to know what to do yourself. And you just do what everybody else is doing, which is usually bad things. And I think if you look at the whole culture as a whole, that's probably the number one problem in America today is fatherless America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just don't have any idea what it means to be a father.
Yeah.
So how do you go about teaching this? Do you do it to a few and have somebody else do it to others, or are you the overall teacher and shepherd?
Sure. So what we do at our church is we believe in a plurality of pastors and shepherds, and so I do on Sunday mornings. I'm the one who preaches the most of our various leaders, but specifically for our men's ministry, what we've done is we've had different men teaching different segments. You know, some of them focusing on certain aspects of family leadership, family devotions, loving your wife. We just had a men's conference recently where we hit some of those various topics, bringing in other pastors, some of them who are on this station also, to share their heart with men. We did it at our church every other Saturday morning. The beginning of this year, we just had a men's group, and there was a chapter they were supposed to read, and then we came together, and it was an interactive sort of thing. But kind of just getting back to ground zero, what the Lord calls us as men to be, looking at His word, and I just really believe men are the backbone of the church. And like you said, when they fail to lead, the Lord can work through godly women in other ways. But He's really designed men to take the lead and to be godly men and examples in their families. And where that's not there, the family suffers. And God's gracious, but we want to be calling men and within the context of the church to be to a higher standard than they've seen in the world, and to rise up. And so some of the things we've covered is just how if you have children in the home, what are some ways that you can teach them the Word of God? And that was kind of just taken for granted in past centuries. You know, families, even when America was founded, some of the covenants of the colonies were that we're committing to catechize or to teach our children the things of God. This is what we're covenanting to in many of the founding colonies. And that's been a practice that's been lost in large measure is you know, just reading the Bible together or having some teaching tools that parents can use to as simple as, you know, after a meal as your family's together, taking some time to read through a story. It could be a Bible geared for children, singing some songs together and just praying together. Simple things like that can go a long way, but sometimes men just need some practical helps as to how to do those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really does have a lasting influence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not; it's just something that people remember,
mm-hmm.
and once they have that, then they pass that along.
Mm-hmm.
And if you begin to pass it along where you're doing the right things, then you can begin to build a family with a genealogy that's of God. You know, so that's what's great is that you're building up the body instead of it being torn down all the time.
Right.
Well, how many leaders do you have?
We have, among our elders, pastors, and shepherds, there's four of us. Two of us are on staff, and the other two are work other jobs as well. But we have a number of godly men who share teaching in different roles who don't have the title of pastor or teacher. And one of the things that's been a blessing is even just in that study we've done with our men is having different men who we can tell as fathers are really seeking to follow biblical principles. They've been able to share different teaching times and share some things that the Lord's taught them. And I think the more and more you can do that and make it not dependent on one person, the healthier it is. And I'm just, you know, in the process, we're all learners. None of us have mastered this. None of us would consider ourselves the perfect father or husband. There's only one perfect husband, and that's Christ. But we want to be men becoming more like Christ, and so
that's the goal.
That's right. That's right.
You know, when you're talking about marriage, and for men, over and over and over, it says, "Men, love your wives. Love your wives. You know, love your wives, and you know, love wives like Christ loved the church, gave His life sacrificial. I mean, that's 100%. When you give your life as Christ did, He died for the church."
That's right.
We're also to die for our wives and our children. But for women, it's a little bit different, isn't it? I mean, he talked about them loving their husbands, but still they were to be more obedient and more
submissive,
helpful.
Right.
And really, they came to serve their husbands as Christ loved the church. He said, "I came not to be served, but to serve."
Right.
And women are to do that.
Right. And so both are high callings, and Christ is the example
the same.
For both.
They're the same, but they're
right.
Different, you know.
Right.
The same commitment.
Right. He's our 100%. Example as a leader and also as a servant. And and there's a sense in which as husbands, we're also called to be servants of our wives. There's no higher calling than to be a servant. Yeah.
Yeah. And you get through with that, then women don't always like to hear that. But
yeah.
Because this word obedient kind of gets in their way.
Sure.
But it had a little bit different connotation from the scripture than what we think of it today. But it still comes back to obedience. You know, Christ said, if you love me, you'll obey me.
Right.
And same thing with husband. You know, if you love me, you will obey me in the sense that what I say is a husband is the right thing for us to be doing.
Right. And Christ ultimately submitted himself to his Father. You know, we know as Christians, the Father and Son are equal, and yet he took on that role. And that's the same way we see it in marriage. Is spiritually, we're on an equal playing field, and yet the Lord calls one to lead and one to follow and submit.
Yeah. Well, that gets into some pretty, not dangerous, but a little bit of a teaching problem when you start doing that, because you know, people don't like to hear it because they've been influenced so much by the world.
Yeah.
And it's time we get back to having biblical influence.
Yeah, and I would add to that, I think the key is when those who are called to lead have a servant leader mindset. And so when a husband is seeking to lead and serve his family, that just makes it so much easier for those who are seeking to follow him.
Yeah.
And so it's really not about us having a greater ability even necessarily, but there is a greater responsibility, you know, God places on us, and that's a sobering thing, and that's why we want to equip men to be able to rise up to the challenge and not shrink back from it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. What are some of the other things that are going on in your mind and as you're looking at the church, as you're developing new things in the church, what are some of the other things that you're doing?
Well, something that kind of goes along with that, I guess, would be we're starting a new care and discipleship class, which is really taking some materials that you might call biblical counseling, but even kind of rewording it in that way, a care and discipleship. When you look at the scriptures, you know, there's not so much an elite group of there's only a few people who can help others with their problems. You know, Paul told the Romans that you should be competent to counsel or to admonish one another. It's the word noutheteo that we get, nouthetic counseling from the scriptures. The Word of God expects that there's people who will be spiritual, who'll be able to help people who are ensnared in trespasses, as Galatians 6 says. And so our desire is to see Christians having a real understanding that all of us in the body of Christ have a responsibility to each other. Not all of us maybe will consider ourselves counselors, but we all give counsel whether we realize it or not. It's just a question of whether it's good and biblically based.
Right.
But even those of us who don't think of ourselves as a counselor, people will come to us with their issues and concerns. And so we want to equip every believer to be able to understand more how to use the scriptures. And we really believe that the scriptures are sufficient for man's spiritual problems. You get into areas of medicine and other areas in science, and there's a place for other people. But when we're talking about spiritual problems, you know, anger, worry, fear, things like that, the Word of God has so much to say. And so we believe that the Word of God has the power, and that the gospel in particular is the power of God for us who are saved and believing. And so one of the goals of that training is to help people understand how the gospel is to be powerful in the lives of those who are already converted by it, and to show how everything leads back to the cross, and how thinking specific and meditating on truths and understanding the Word of God is so critical for us in our battles and struggles against sin.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's great. I'm talking to Phil Layton, the pastor of the Gold Country Baptist Church in Shingle Springs, and talking about how he's beginning to develop in his church leadership for men, and which is the right place, and to begin to develop what the program is for the church. And not only do we have men taking responsibility and the care, but we also have a sense of outreach. What's a man's role, as you see, in reaching out in evangelism?
Yeah, I'd say that's an area for us that we're praying about and need to grow in is looking outward and evangelizing our community. We just 2 days ago had a meeting of our new missions and outreach oversight team. We've got some different outreaches planned. We're looking at different things this Christmas, but this is really an area that I think we need to grow in as well. And that all goes back to Ephesians 4, that God gave evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And so we have an evangelism Sunday school class starting up. Some people may be familiar with the Way of the Master training, which is just one. There's many different programs, but we're trying to get some tools into our people's hands so that they can, when they're in conversation with people, know different areas they want to cover, how to talk about sin. And so many people think they're a good person, they're not a sinner. And so that particular approach helps them talk about how the law of God shows that we are sinners and that we all fall short. That's the point of God's law, is that we need a Savior. But people don't really believe in the good news aren't interested in the good news until they understand the bad news. And so that's something that we want is really an area of growth for us that we need to, that we're praying for, that God would continue to stir our hearts, not just for missions, which we've been very involved in, but reaching our community more and more. And I think the key is not just that being a program-driven thing, but it's a lot of people having a passion and a heart and strategizing and thinking, how can I as an individual, or in some cases, how can a number of us seek to reach out to people in our community?
Well, it's the number one. Well, everything's number one. You start thinking about evangelism, number one, pastors, men leadership, that's number one. It just comes down to doing the work of the church is what Christ called us to do, and that's to follow Jesus and to be more like Jesus. You know, I think our goal is to strive to be like Jesus. Right. And it's not I who live, but Christ who is crucified in me every day, that I might be more like him. And the more we're like him, the more we have the power to do the things that he wants us to do.
That's right.
And so we got to have the power of the Holy Spirit to come and to give us that power, because the Holy Spirit's the one who gives gifts. And, those gifts that we have as pastor or evangelism, the Holy Spirit gives those out.
Yeah. And I think all of those things fall under the Great Commission, which is go and make disciples of all the nations. But there's a sense in which everything we've talked about falls under disciple-making. And disciple-making doesn't stop when someone becomes a Christian. That's a process of applying the gospel, teaching them everything Jesus taught. That's our ongoing thing till he comes again. But like you said, the comfort is knowing that he's with us always, and he's with us through his Spirit, and we're not in this alone. Otherwise, it would be a pretty daunting task.
It would be. Well, if we try to do it in our own strength, and we often do that, we get so wound up in church, we begin to, I can do this, I'm doing this. And so we think that we're the ones that are doing it, but it's not. It's, if you really do it right, it's Christ who's doing it through you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And like I say, he gives gifts, so not everybody has the gift of evangelism, but everybody can do the work of the gift of evangelism.
That's right.
It's one of those things that you don't have it, but you have it.
That's right. Well, and we're all called to do things that we may not be especially gifted in, but everything Jesus commanded, we're called to. And we can be thankful that there's some people who are more equipped and better gifted in certain areas, but I think it's good to also see it as a responsibility and not just a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. What's another thing that you're doing?
Well, as always, we're committed to teaching the Word of God. Right now I'm teaching through Genesis and just loving to see how Christ is just all over Genesis, pointing to the need for Christ. Sometimes there's pictures and prophecies of Christ, but I just marvel at every week how everything we're looking at with these sinful people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who, when you read their stories, were pretty messed up sometimes. Their families weren't always such wonderful families, and yet by God's grace, he transformed them and made them the men and women that changed the world. But just seeing how much of Genesis points us forward to the gospel, has been a real blessing. We have a Sunday evening as well as Sunday morning service, and we're hitting different things in the evening. But I've just been loving teaching through Genesis and seeing how it's all about Jesus and how much of the nations and God's plan for the nations is right there in the early parts of the Bible. It's not a something after the Great Commission. It's really part of the commission that he gives to Abraham. All the nations of the earth were to be blessed in and through God's people, starting in Genesis 12. And that does start in Old Testament times, and that's an exciting reality to see God's heart for the nations manifested from the beginning of the Bible.
So in the beginning, when he began to teach, does he, there will be witnesses to the other nations. They weren't, this is a strange thing, I believe,
sure.
that the Jews, Israel, was not a special people that God did this for. He did it for others, that Israel was to be the model for them, that everybody messed it up. It's not God's fault, but
right.
But they were not special. I mean, they were sinners, or even more so than others. So they weren't special. They were just, God said, "I'm going to give you a model of how you can do it or don't do it."
Yeah,
and that's what through the Old Testament he is showing them God's word. How much God loved them and his plan for them, if they would follow him, they would be blessed like Israel's blessed.
Right.
But they were jealous of Israel, and that's one of the things that was a downfall of other countries around them, because they didn't want to be like Israel, or they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to acquiesce to God and to love God, because one thing that Israel did, they did love God, and so that's it's kind of shows how mankind down through the history would rather follow their own sinful nature than they had God.
Yeah, and the way I've articulated the early parts of Genesis is it's really a revelation of God's multi-ethnic family plan. It was never about just one nation, but he chose that nation, set his special love on them so that they would bring the blessing of salvation to all nations. And that begins to happen in Genesis with Syrians and with Egyptians and with other people who become enfolded in that family of faith. Even in the Exodus, there were other nations that Exodus 12 says joined up with them as they exited Egypt. And you know, we see Rahab, we see Naaman, we see many people in Old Testament times who were outside of the Jewish community where that was taking place. But I think ultimately Jesus comes, because Israel never fully fulfilled her mission. And so Jesus comes and reminds those disciples of their mission to make disciples of all the nations. But I really believe that goes back to what he originally called them to be a light to the nations, as Isaiah said. And we who are not ethnic Jews, we get to be a part of that great mm-hmm. commission of blessing all. We're spiritual children of Abraham, and so we get in on that family plan as well. That's a great privilege.
It is. America is not mentioned in the Scripture, but we have a great affinity to Israel. And I think that the political side of it, you know, we believe that Israel has this special anointing of God, and we're gonna put our 2 cents in with them, but they really don't need us.
Yeah,
because God's got special plans.
Yeah, and I think, you know, spiritually, we should have a special love as Paul did, and we should have a special love equally for the Arabs, the Palestinians, and all those peoples. We want to see many Jews come to faith because we also want to see many Muslims come to faith in that area too. And so God has not forgotten his people, but we need to also not forget his people or all the nations as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We tend to hate them or we tend to want to turn them aside because they're not like us, or they have these different things. So we don't even know all the things that are about them we should know, and we tend to push them away. And really, God's outreach is to bring all the nations. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be universal. I mean,
right.
It doesn't mean that God's going to save everybody. It just means that we got to come to the end.
Yeah.
You know, that when the end comes, God's going to straighten it all out. But he really calls us to follow him.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, it's been great to have you with us today and talk about these Old Testament things especially, and men leading the family and the care and resources that you have. And we wish you all the best. And when you get to talk about your family, you've got a family of 5 children.
We do. We're very blessed.
And so you got a big family up there. So we ask God's blessing on you and all the folks at Gold Country. So God bless you. We'll see you again.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for being with us today. And we wish you to come back with us next week. And we'll have another pastor we can talk to heart to heart. Oh, God bless you this week in all things. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed Pastor to Pastor. If you'd like more information on today's guest, please call 924-0710 and give the date of the show. We appreciate all area pastors and ministry leaders for their selfless commitment of service to our community. Please tune in again next week at the same time for another interview on Pastor to Pastor. Until then, may God bless you and keep you.